Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. Yeah, I'm Mike Fair. It's been a while since I've done one of these podcasts. This will be the last one from this location. I thought I'd be married by now. This is December 29th, 2009. Unfortunately, since my last podcast, things have really changed, for the worse, in my opinion. I thought I'd really found someone who would be a partner for me in life, but she decided that wasn't what she wanted and left me after Easter. So, needless to say, it took months to truly get over that. It wasn't fun. One of the things that really did bear out, though, ultimately, were all the investments. I bought a lot of things to sort of get ready to be as versatile and helpful a husband as I could possibly be in life. And those investments really have borne out nicely in my single life, which looks set to continue and begin a new chapter. I've finally been approved for subsidized housing. They found me an apartment in Mississauga, which I will be moving into very shortly, early February of 2010, coming right up. So we're, of course, getting ready for that move. More gadgetry is on the way, as well as more mundane things like furniture and other essential supplies. Once I am settled in the new place, I will certainly be doing a podcast to give you a tour of my living space and such, as many others have done before. You have no idea how tempting I've found it over the years to sort of do a send-up of that in this room where I spend the majority of my days. Here in my parents' home, I have a fairly large, nicely furnished room. I just thought, what a tremendous send-up with all these houses and buildings and everything I've heard, just to do like the tininess of one room. It just kind of, you know, but I never really got around to it. And you will have a tour of my new place when I actually obtain it and I'm in there and everything is unpacked and I'm sort of up and running, as it were. So you have that to look forward to. Meanwhile, for now, I will go over my technical gear. There have been some changes and some new additions, and I will be covering these. One of the ones that I've really noticed lately, I've been traveling a bit with my netbook, and so as not to disturb other people, I use headphones. And I've had these headphones kicking around since 2008, very early in that year, and they really are excellent. It's a Logitech premium USB laptop headset is the one you want to find if you want to follow in my footsteps of a non-technical audiophile, as it were. They are superb. It's a really great headset. It flattens down completely. You can pivot the headphone cups around so that they are flat, parallel to the table surface, instead of being perpendicular, rising up from it, as headphones typically want to do. This makes them really nice, easy to just slip into a bag, not having to worry about them snagging on everything. And I really find that slims down my netbook amazingly well. They do come with a travel case, but I don't typically use it. It's a hard protective case, but I find that with the netbook sleeve, the material of the bag that I carry it in, plus in the compartment in front, I have a keyboard, a flexible keyboard. I will get to that soon. There's enough padding in that setup that I really don't need the case, so I don't typically take it anymore. But the headphones themselves, the sound out of them is really nice and clear. They do come with a USB dongle, so you can use that as a kind of ready a sound card to just plug in if this onboard sound on your computer isn't great. I find I don't typically use it. The only time it's really come handy is when I've lost speech and I need to plug in a new sound device to try and get speech up and running on it again. Once in a while, that has proved effective, and I've been able to sort myself out without doing a hard reset. So that's been nice. Other than that, I don't tend to use the dongle. I do use the headset extensively. It is, the microphone will pivot out, it'll fold so it's flat with the other headset items, but you can pivot it out in front of you very easily. It's a small, very thin, cylindrical kind of tubular mic with a little tiny, like it's a metal rod that sticks out in front of you, and there's just a tiny mic on the end of it. So it's one of these things. It does well for chats and stuff like that. The sound of the headphones is superb for music listening and movies and whatnot. It does quite well. Very impressed with that. You can even adjust the tightness of the neck band. It is one of these neck bands that goes behind your neck, and you can move the cups of the earphones in and out on the sides of the neck band, so it will go quite a bit forward. If you have a really large head, that could be really useful. And just for comfort's sake, it's good to just be able to adjust that, snug it in there, or loosen it up, whatever you feel more comfortable at the time. So they put a lot of thought into these headsets. They're quite easy to control. There's a simple knob, or sort of a simple control thing with a that sort of hangs off the headphones, sort of in easy reach on their cord, and which has an on-off sort of switch for your microphone, plus a volume knob for the headphone volume. So it's a very simple two-control thing that is just there and within easy reach. That essentially is the headphones. The headphones plug in, the microphone, there's a separate cord that you can put in a little holder thing when you're not using it, and so you always know which is the headphone cord, and then you just pull out the microphone and jack it in when you need that. So that I've found quite good. The flexible keyboard, which I've already mentioned, is the next. I got that on a pure lark. I did not expect it to actually do what it said. I read about it in an issue of Smart Computing, which I subscribe to, and got this thing from Adesso. Yeah, Adesso. That was, I can't quite remember how to spell it, but that is the company that makes these waterproof, flexible, rollable keyboards. They really do. They're precisely what they say. It's quite handy for when I'm demonstrating games to people or doing other things like that, where the netbook keyboard would be kind of, it would interfere with the experience because it's so unfamiliar. This is a ready-made, whip it out, put it down on the table, jack it into the USB port, and you're ready to rock on a normal keyboard again. So it's quite nice and does provide a certain amount of padding in the front of your case, in my case anyway. And that's the other thing that I've added to my travel gear is a new lap desk. And this is, I can't honestly remember, I think it's TARDIS, it could be a TARDIS lap desk, I can't remember the brand name for sure. There's probably a better solution. I'm not convinced I've found the best solution for this, the problem of a portable flat surface that you could just mount on your lap and be ready to work anywhere. But this is pretty darn close. It's not perfect, but it's close. It's a foldable portable table that will just fold up in half, and it has holes on it that I believe are supposed to hold like pens or something in them. What I do is I have a little carabiner on my bag, like the type you use to rock climb with and stuff, and I just hang the table, this little foldable table, neatly behind the bag where I carry my netbook speakers and the netbook and the headphones and everything, just all in one thing. So with one carry-on strap, I have the portable surface and everything else just over my shoulder and ready. It's very light, and you just fold this out or not. If you're just using the netbook, it's you can do it quite effectively without unfolding it even, and just put it on the rubber surfaces that kind of hold it in place. It's not perfect. It takes some fiddling to get it right on the rubber so that it's balanced well. I find it's easier if you actually open the table up, put it on your lap, and do it that way. It does stick out from either side of your lap a little ways. That actually comes in handy if you put in, like I do often, I'll put my Logitech V20 speakers on it and have the whole setup almost like having, you know, being at home and having a desk right in front of you. You have your speakers to the left and right and the netbook in the middle, and it's just all right there and quite well balanced. And the speakers don't fall off. Everything's kind of nicely in place and solidly on your lap, and there's no need to fiddle with legs like there was with my old PC table tote, which I still have around, by the way. But this is a much better. You just clip this thing on to the backpack. It won't fit actually in the bag I chose for my netbook because it's so small, and in the netbook, really, you don't need a big bag for it. So this makes a bit more sense. And with the table folded in half, it's quite small and portable, and doesn't really add a lot to the size of your what you're carrying over your shoulder there or over your neck, as I tend to do more. So that's the only major addition to my travel gear as such. For my home system, I did get, thinking about, you know, the possibility of living in an apartment, you don't want a downward firing subwoofer on your speakers, and that is what my Logitech surround sound speakers have. So I decided, okay, I have to really bite the bullet here, and I got a set of Bose Companion 3 speakers, which are really excellent. It's really sad that there's no way I can demonstrate this to you with this device. I don't think the DS61 recorder would really do justice to how good these speakers are. But they're exceptionally good sound. The subwoofer is forward firing, so it goes into the room more than down and reflecting off the floor as my other subwoofer. It was nearly short enough, compact enough to fit under the desk that I have. I have a really nice kind of desk that has a shelf on the bottom, sort of underneath it, and it's sort of lower down, and I thought the subwoofer would be small enough to fit under in terms of height. It just about is, but we ended up having to use bricks to elevate the desk because I misjudged by something like maybe 2 centimeters tops, probably more like 1 and a bit. It was so close. It was kind of painful. It's a really, they're excellent. It's a 2.1 speaker setup, so you don't have the wires of that you would with a surround sound setup trailing out behind you. What I've found is with my X-Fi Extreme Gamer sound card, if you enable the virtual surround option, your virtual 3D sound setting, it really does a capital job of placing sounds around you, around the desktop space. As long as you have a good, like, flat wall behind you, it kind of helps. So you hear things as if they were behind you in movies and stuff. It's really neat to hear when you're properly situated and you have it set up with good separation, as I do here. There's quite a bit of space between the left and right speaker on my desk. And it just works really well for gaming and for movie watching. The sound is excellent. You do have to trim out the subwoofer, get that sort of the way you like it. The control for these speakers is the knob for the subwoofer is on the back of the subwoofer. So you have to sort of crouch down under the desk and adjust that and then get up and listen to it and then go back down and, you know, do it's probably good for me, you know, gets a little blood flow going and, you know, loosens up some joints. I don't mind it, but some people might. That's where the subwoofer control compensator is. That increases or decreases the amount of bass that gets pumped out of the subwoofer. The overall volume though, is on a puck-like control. It's honestly like a hockey puck shape. It has a thing. It has two jacks on the front for audio sources. You can plug in your headphones there in the front if you want to through the speakers. I have mine plugged into my computer. That's how I prefer it. The wheel on that sort of makes up the sort of size of the puck, you can turn. Like, imagine a hockey puck that you can sort of turn the top half of a little as versus the bottom part, and you have some idea. It moves like that, and the volume will adjust. There's also a sort of a touch pad on the top that you tap, and it'll just mute and unmute, right? So if you ever suddenly lose sound, that's why, right? Tap it, and you should have sound again, right? So it works well. It's a bit finicky when you're muting and unmuting it, but as long as you don't sort of reach over the top and like budget accidentally as you're reaching for something behind it, which I have done, it works out quite well. And like I say, the sound I've gone from a 5.1 system to a 2.1 system, and I'm honestly more impressed with the 2.1 system than I am with the 5.1 that I had. The sound out of these is that good. There's the satellite, the speakers that they plug into the subwoofer. They're small. They're on stands that go up, I'd say, almost 6 centimeters, 7 centimeters off the desk. So there's quite a, yeah, it might even be a full 10, like a full decimeter off the desk surface. Couldn't tell you how many inches. Sorry, Americans. I'm a metric guy up here in Canada. They're also angled, so the sound sort of goes upward a little as well. Like it's quite well thought out. These stands and the speakers in general, they're very solid little things. Certainly can take a fall. Same with the subwoofer. The subwoofer is quite solidly built. It wouldn't go whacking it with a sledgehammer, but you know, short of that, you're probably in pretty good shape. It's long. The subwoofer is quite lengthy front to back. And so it's low but long, and you can angle it sort of, you can position it off to the side and sort of angle it if you want to. It's the subwoofer is more for filling the space with the bass sound. It's not as directional. But the satellites, of course, are the directional sound, and they also put out the higher frequency sounds. So that's sort of how that works. So it's a little less important how your subwoofer is situated. I'm thinking probably what I'll do is put it even behind the desk, see how that works when I'm situated in my new apartment. We'll see how that goes. As long as it doesn't shake the desk to bits, that might be a better long-term solution, seeing as I'll have much more room than I do here in my room, spacious as this is. That's one of the technical things I've gotten over the year. The headphones for my laptop certainly have been wonderful. Other one item that has already arrived that I will be using in the new apartment when I get groceries and perhaps don't know what they all are is the ID Mate 2 talking scanner, barcode reader. And it will look at devices and things and just read out what the label is. It's a very, it uses double talk speech, so, you know, I don't mind it. I've always liked double talk. Other people think it's rather shoddy. it does the job, you know. It's understandable. It's, you know, I don't really have any complaints about it myself. It's packed in a case. It's designed to be portable, but I cannot imagine just sort of going around with this thing on my belt, although that's what it's sort of geared towards. It's somewhat bulky. It's light enough, but it's bulky. I hear the newer one's better for that, but seeing as this is to be used mainly in my apartment, it's going to be stationary, really. And it was, I got a deal that they had for refurbished ID Mate 2s. You could get for something like $200. It might even still be available for that at envisionamerica.com. Yeah, probably. very nice unit with a scanner, just like in retail stores. You just turn this thing on and move it near the whatever it is you want to scan, and sort of go around it until it finds the label, and then you know what it is, and hopefully more, a little more about it. Has quite a bit of information in the database, and you can add more. So if you have something new, you get it to recognize the label, and then you record the information for it, and it will remember that for the next time it sees that label. So, yeah, if I had more money to spare, I might have gone for the more expensive unit, but as things are, I thought this would be quite handy to have right from the word go in my new place, and I'm looking forward to having it. It would have solved many a dispute and many crisis during the time I lived in an apartment with my ex-wife for 5 years. Many a time we got new stuff that we wanted to try and found out after we ordered it and after there was no sighted people around that we really didn't know what this or that was. And, between the two of us, we couldn't figure it out. So having something like this where it will look for the barcode, which is on most things, will have one of these barcodes on them. It's a very handy way to just have things recognizable. And so that will be a godsend in my new place. The DS61 recorder is new that I'm actually recording this podcast on. I had meant to do a recording of my mobility lessons, sort of a documentary of that experience. I have a condition that I was born prematurely, and it affected how my brain developed, and seems to have affected my ability to memorize and learn complicated routes, especially long outdoor ones, where distances involved of any sufficient distance will screw me up. I'm really good with buildings, learning buildings, given enough time, but outdoor routes take a lot of effort for me to learn. And I've gotten all my lessons recorded with this. It doesn't do badly. It's much better indoors, though. Probably there's a much I could have chosen something that would have been much more suited to outdoor recording than this was. It does good enough. Like I've kept the files, and they're certainly going to be great for if I ever visit my parents and need to figure out if I forget the route that I finally managed to master after 5 months, they'll certainly help with that. I have about 2 gigs worth of these recordings. Lessons and other walks I did myself just to try and solidify the route in my head. The Trekker Breeze has served me very well. It isn't perfect, it has its quirks, but it does ultimately get me there and back. I wouldn't recommend using it if you were in any kind of rush to get somewhere, unless you're very familiar with the route, because it can easily lose track of you if there's no coverage. It's only as good as the coverage in your area, and it might think for a while that you're on the wrong street. So you really do have to, it's like, I guess with guide dogs, it's the same sort of thing. They don't really know as such where you want to go. You have to know that. And it's the same with this. It has the route. It will tell you where you are as long as it knows, and it does more often than not. So it's quite helpful. Just be aware that there are some circumstances where it may give you wrong directions, thinking you're somewhere other than you actually are, right? So as long as you have time, you've left enough time that you can get there without needing to really rush, it will get you there. I've been lost a number of times, completely lost, and it has invariably gotten me back safely. It's taken a while. Sometimes I've been out. The route that I've mastered is to Symposium Cafe. It's really an excellent place within walking distance of my parents' home here, where I'm living, and it's about half an hour away, give or take, walking. I get there in 28 minutes, roughly 25 to 28 minutes. But once in a while, going back, things don't quite go as planned, and I've been considerably lost. But invariably, if I just say, select home as my destination, it will eventually get me there. So I'm getting more and more confident in it as time goes on. And it's been a real, for someone like me who has a heck of a time with routes, it's a real door opener in a lot of ways. So I'm very thankful for the gentleman, John Morgan, who donated that to me. It's already proved its worth, and it's going to do so even more this spring and summer when I get out and really start exploring my new surroundings by my new apartment. So I'll be out there with my netbook and gear and seeing what happens. Of course, as an author, even an amateur one as I am, I don't get paid for my writing. I tend to give it away. Having something like that you can just whip out and write down whatever ideas, it does much better if I try to record ideas on a recorder like this digital one. They don't seem to work out if I try to use them in writing, but if I can type them down before I forget them, it's great. So what I typically do with my netbook is I'll take it and I'll have it in standby mode and I'll have Jart loaded so I can just whip the thing out and, you know, write down, you know, because I've had, before I got this laptop, this netbook, I kid you not, I have been in restaurants and I've heard, you know, people are always at their most interesting when they're eating out. You ever notice that? And they'll, you know, you'll be listening, just, you know, minding your own business, not even trying to eavesdrop, and you'll overhear this really nifty conversation, and they'll say something that you think, oh, I really should Google that or find out more about that. And by the time you're back where you could do that, you've forgotten, or at least I forget, whatever it is that has so intrigued me that I overheard in the first place. So now I'm ready for such events. Not that a neat idea has befallen me, now that I am ready for it. Before I got this, I can think of at least five or six times where I thought, oh wow, this would be great. I should take down information, and I had no way of doing that before it's faded and lost to my mind. But now I'm ready, and it's a good feeling just to have that to hand, as well as all the other power that a netbook brings to you. So now I've got this gear, and of course, getting ready for the move, there'll be more technology on the way. I'll be getting a Hamilton Beach talking microwave fairly shortly, and I couldn't find, there was a review of that supposedly on Blind Cool Tech back in the archives, but it seems to be gone, so I might do one of my own once I'm familiar with it and have cooked some meals, which I have then survived post-consumption, just to make sure I really have it mastered before I review said product. So that will be one of the things that I'll certainly be using this to record a podcast of when I'm situated in my new place and have got everything somewhat under control therein. So, yeah, the speakers, certainly a new item. The barcode reader is going to be amazing for groceries and things like that. Another thing that was donated to me because here's how this all came about. Thinking I was about to move in with Janine and start married life, it didn't make sense for me to get a landline installed here at my parents' house that I thought I wasn't going to be there. I had no idea how long I'd be there before either subsidized housing came up or something like that happened. So it really seemed not too sensible. And I used Rogers had an internet phone service, which they then, for some silly reason, decided to cancel. So all of a sudden, my phone number was useless, and I had to jump off onto another service. And what made the most sense, really, was a cell phone. So I started asking around about cell phones. And one lady, Margaret, she's in the U.S., that I was talking to, decided to donate her Oasis 22C that she no longer uses. She has a more in-depth, one of the newfangled cell phones with talks and all the internet capabilities and such, which I don't really need. I just wanted a phone that would let me make gasp phone calls. I don't even text. I just cannot. It doesn't make such little sense to try and text and master the intricacies of all those, like how many times you push this, that, the other button to get the letter that you want, and it just flummoxes my mind. I just, the netbook is as small as a keyboard as anything I'd want to do extensive typing of words on, other than, like, much beyond two or three for like a phone number or something. You know, it's just, I don't know, it just seems so daft to me to do this text stuff that I don't. And, but as a accessible cell phone, the Oasis 22C has been excellent. Works very well with Rogers here, and I'm on a pay-as-you-go plan, and everything's voice. It talks. You don't need a screen reader for it to talk. Everything's all built into it. Speaks very clearly. It has a hands-free mode you can activate with a different volume, much louder. Got about 50 ringtones built in, which is plenty for me. Chances are, maybe for a lot of people used to hundreds and hundreds of options at their disposal, they'd think, I'm limiting myself, and perhaps I am, but I don't care that my phone sounds like Pac-Man on steroids. I just want a phone that I can use to call and carry with me. And, some of these, I guess maybe I'm turning into one of these digital dinosaurs. I have the netbook and my desktop uses Windows XP Home, and I have no plans whatsoever to change for the foreseeable future until I absolutely have to. They're serving me very well, and why fix what ain't broke, right? And it's the same with these. I mean, with the cell phone, I didn't want something that does a zillion and one things and cost a bloody fortune and, God forbid you drop or lose it. I wanted something that would just let me make calls, thank you very much, portably, and be able to move and keep the same number. And this is what the Oasis 22C allows me to do. I can go into my new place with the knowledge that I have no reason to change my phone number. I just give them my new address, and if God forbid 911 becomes essential, it should work. So it's a really handy little cell phone. It does texting and calling, and you can access all the different features very easily. Has a built-in phone book that you can enter in numbers. So it gives you a very basic, simple to use phone, and that's really what I'm finding with these gadgets. With the Trekker Breeze and the cell phone, they're all very simple, devices. If I lose one, I don't lose the rest of the functionality. So if I lose my Trekker for whatever reason, I don't also lose the phone that some people would have the GPS solutions on. And I kind of like that. I like things, different devices for different things, in a lot of ways. And we'll see if that changes. I mean, maybe as time goes on, circumstances will be such that this crotchety old digital dinosaur reverses some of these opinions. But right now, looking at access technology and where I'm at, this is what I find comforting. I typically have the pockets on my clothing such that I can carry a cell phone, a GPS, quite comfortably, quite unobtrusively in said pocketry, with no issues, So, and if I had to, I could pack the chargers for said devices into my netbook bag and have everything quite portable right there, the only thing I really don't have and maybe should look into is like one of those portable power bars, that you can plug more than one thing into. Because, of course, the netbook with the speakers and everything, I just need one plug for all that. So, it's nice and neat that way. So that's essentially where I am technology-wise. I haven't really seen the need to get other devices, really. It's between those, the netbook, the cell phone, the Trekker Breeze, these wonderful companion 3 speakers that have just been excellent for listening and really done wonders. One piece of software that seems a good place to stick this for those who've been listening to this techno ramble of mine is something called Aura. And it is basically a forest soundscape. You run this thing, and it generates a soundscape of a forest with animals and birds and wind, rain, you know, all the atmospherics that you would get in a forest. You can even have music like a flute or a guitar playing. I typically don't. I find that somewhat intrusive, as I typically listen to other music that I have via Winamp. But it's just really neat. If you want something that just totally changes your sonic environment and you're tired of you know, your music or whatever, you just want something different, it's a really neat randomly generated environment. It's not predictable. You don't get it's not like one of these MP3 files that just loops, and you just get used to, okay, a bird's gonna chirp here, you're gonna hear a flight of a bird now, thunderclap will happen now. You set this thing, it has a control panel that you can set various options, how often you want various things to happen, how much wind, whether you want storms to be frequent or non-existent or whatever, whether you want a brook, whether you want a fire to be happening at night, not a raging forest fire, mind you. This is a gentle, like, campfire idea, right? So no destructive, vengeful people need apply. it's just a nice addition to the arsenal of software that I have here. Now, the URL for this, it looks like whoever is designing this is in Russia. It's http unopit, so you know pit. .ru/aura capital A. Might not matter, but just in case. ENG with E capitalized, all one word. .htm. Right? So http unopit, UNOPIT dot RU slash capital AURA ENG, EN with E capitalized, .html, right? So there's your link, and I hope you find that as interesting as I have. I find it very relaxing, very good to sort of sleep with. Obviously, music, you sort of get tuned into it, and it kind of, you know, unless it really entrances you, you end up listening to it. So this is a nice, you know, peaceful alternative that might do people some good. You can customize it. You can even have it has an alarm built in, so you can say ring at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and it'll ring and wake you up. It's just a very, very nice soundscape program. So hope you enjoy Aura. And other than Jart that I found last, I haven't really found too much new freeware that I use regularly over the past while. Nothing really new and exciting has popped up in that department. So hopefully something like that will come along soon. You never know. I'm constantly looking around, seeing what else is out there as part of my day, and you never know when something new and wonderful will pop my way. So I will keep you all updated. I hope you enjoyed this little ramble and exploration of my techno gadgetry, as it were. And I will be probably joining you quite soon from a new location. Hope you all have a wonderful New Year's Eve. Hope you've had an excellent holiday to this point. Chances are you'll be hearing this somewhat afterwards. But have a good New Year's gathering, and hope all of us, including me, have a brand new and wonderful 2010. I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of new changes that are going to happen to me, especially in the winter, which is usually such a dull period of life. It's going to be anything but this year, and very much looking forward to that. So hope all of you are doing well, and I will hopefully have more to report to you soon. See you later, everyone.